Lord, we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth. May what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit. And may what is decided lead us on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake. Amen. The story is told, apocryphal really, the story, of a minister who dressed up, or down, I suppose you would say, as a tramp, and hung around outside his church on a Sunday morning as people were arriving, begging. Then, when everybody had arrived, he quickly went into the church, changed, and led the service, and challenged everybody there because nobody had stopped to give him anything. Couldn't happen here. For one thing, I wouldn't have the chutzpah to try it, and my disguise would slip, I suspect. And besides, knowing how much we have been doing for homeless people in general, I expect lots of people here would stop to give me help of all sorts. Good story, though. Plays to the stereotype of hypocritical religion. Shows up the power of prejudice. Bit crude, though. No need for a cheap stunt like that. We know about prejudice and about people who offend our sensibilities and prejudices. And as we continue to think about engaging with the powers, we come to Jesus' way. The story in Luke's Gospel. Levi, a tax collector, is called by Jesus, and in response to his feeling accepted, he throws a great party to which lots of other tax collectors and others come. And the Pharisees must have been hanging around outside. They often turn up in the Gospels as kind of whipping boys, always ready to ask Jesus after something he's said or done and to display what religious prejudice really means. The Pharisees question, why? Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Others. Sinners, see? It's a sort of a technical term for anyone who didn't fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, the kind of division that goes right back to Psalm 1 and indeed before. Shepherds were sinners. They were generally too busy in the fields to wash before going to prayer if they ever made it to their local synagogue. Prostitutes were sinners who were unlikely ever to turn up at their local synagogue for prayer. Beggars and bandits were sinners who, for obvious reasons, were beyond the pale of respectable religious Israel. Why? The great message of the gospel. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. The meek shall inherit the earth. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. At Levi's house, the party is the great sign coming true before their very eyes of that message. Tax collectors and sinners are entering the kingdom of God before you. At one level, this is dead easy. The powers all around are the powers of prejudice and hypocrisy, of greed and self-serving. And the feckless, the stateless, the valueless in any society, in any age, are the victims of those powers. And we who are called to stand with Christ are called to stand against such powers, to welcome today's sinners and help them and tell them in word and deed how much they are worth in God's kingdom, to throw a party and invite today's tax collectors. They might be rich in the eyes of the world, but they're every bit as much a victim of prejudice as the poorest beggar. And the gospel message is that the kingdom of God belongs to them all. Easy. But maybe not so easy. The powers, prejudice and all the rest, get their power from perfectly proper places, from prosperity and values of decency and honesty and privacy and fulfillment. Nothing wrong with any of those things. And hardly surprising if people who are committed to those things find it hard to cope with people who they think seem to have turned their back on them in favour of a life of freedom from responsibility or low morality or barely concealed debauchery. You can't party all the time, can you? The kingdom of God can't just be about welcoming and accepting, can it? It has also to be about justice and right living as well. And those things aren't easy in this world, are they? It is easy to be open to all and to go up against the powers of prejudice and to tear them down, but it is hard to be fair and just and to do the right thing. I think it is a mistake to reduce the gospel only to a message about welcome. It is also a message about how things ought to be in the whole world. It is about engaging with the powers, but not just to go up against them. It is also to see them replaced. The power of prejudice by the power of discernment, perhaps. The power of greed by the power of achievement, perhaps. The power of self-serving by the power of self-fulfillment, perhaps. And it is why, perhaps, the story of Levi is followed by the parable of the wineskins that expresses the age-old conundrum between the old and the new, between change and continuity. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will be burst, and the wine will be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new. For, he says, the old is good. At first glance, the parable is all about replacing old with new. New wineskins. New wine. The title of a festival for Christians running every year, where large numbers of people go to enjoy their newfound faith. Throw out what has gone before, replace it with what is new. It's the spirit of our age, isn't it? Brexit, US foreign policy, environmental campaigning. Old institutions, get rid. Old alliances, overturn. Old technologies, replace. Easy. New for old, new wineskins, new ways of doing things. Easy. Not so easy. The gospel message is good news of new in an old world, certainly, but it is not in this world easy news. As we engage with the powers, it is not easy at all. That parable again. The ending, as Luke tells it, and no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for, he says, the old is good. The old is good. Not something we want to hear very much, is it, in our world? Prejudices are old. Stereotypes are old. Greed and self-serving are old. Surely, engaging the powers means throwing out such things in favour of the new. But Jesus does not come out of nowhere. He comes out of the old traditions of Israel. If there hadn't been thousands of years of Israel's history, then we wouldn't have Jesus. We have the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, to remind us that God's ways with the world go way back. Christ is called the Ancient of Days, the firstborn of all creation. The love of God has always existed, and his ways are ancient ways. He is ever old and ever new. New wineskins are good, but old wine is good as well. Ask anyone you know who happens to lay down a cellar. And the powers will not simply be overcome by throwing them over, or else new powers will grow up to be every bit as prejudicial as before. And today's sinners will be as rejected as were the sinners in Jesus' day, and tomorrow's sinners will have no more access to God's kingdom than did the tax collectors of Jesus' day. And today's Pharisees, in the church or out of it, will be no more free of their prejudices than were the Pharisees of Jesus' day. So that the powers with which we engage will only be overcome by staying close to the one who was and is to come.